welcome to Living and Loving Life as Seen Through the Eyes of an Indigo Crystal Perspective. I'm Preston Chandler, and this is my lovely mom, Marianne.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again.
And we are very privileged to have Shayna Jay as our guest to join us today on our show. Shayna is a multi-talented spiritual teacher and empowers people to learn about their own ability to self-heal any possible illness or disease in their body. She was awakened in 1997 by a fall off a cliff when she was living in Sedona, Arizona. And since then, her life has been dedicated to offering the messages she's learned during her miraculous healing of 22 broken bones in just 4 weeks with no medications. She has written a book about this amazing healing story, which includes some tools to help yourself heal. She's a Reiki master, teacher, Melchizedek priestess, and feng shui consultant, and works in essential oils as well. Welcome, Shayna.
Hi. That was really good.
Thank you. So, how are you today?
I'm actually feeling the energies of the full moon today.
Really?
Yeah, we're having a really powerful full moon, as you might know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually very powerful. The energies are going very deep and into the core of the earth.
Really?
That's what I just got.
Tell us more.
Watch out, people.
Okay. So let me ask you about your fall. I mean, you lived through such an intriguing, amazing, life-altering event. Tell us what happened when you fell.
Well, I was hiking in Sedona, Arizona, where I was living, and it was a beautiful spring day. And the hike was a moderate hike until we decided to go ahead and go up to the tougher part, which is a little more challenging. And on the way back from meditating on the mesa and looking out of all of Arizona's to over 100 miles, you could see.
Wow.
We're hiking back, and on the ledge, going across is a 12-inch ledge, and we had done it very easily on the way out and expected to do it that way the way back, except that it didn't go that way for me.
Uh-oh.
And my right foot slipped off of the ledge, and I immediately was falling because there was nowhere, you know, nothing below me and nothing to hold on to. And so I fell, and in my presence, I said, ooh, I can just turn around and grab the ledge I was just, you know, standing on.
Right.
And in doing that, I saw all of my hands grabbing the dirt, but it didn't quite make it, and the gravity was pulling me down. And so when I realized that, I let go, and as I let go, I continued to turn, and my hands, the hands of God, were literally starting to embrace me, because even though I was screaming, you know, like out of surprise, I wasn't afraid.
Wow.
And my friends told me that I bounced. Anybody who's been in a traumatic incident knows that the body just kind of shuts down its senses.
Wow.
So, but the mind usually stays awake, you know, and starts talking. Oh my God, you know, what's happening? Mine didn't. Mine stayed very quiet, and I wasn't afraid. And so as I was bouncing off these rocks, I landed on my back on some boulders down below. And I started to have an experience that was quite extraordinary. I saw in my third eye vision my silver cord that connects me to all of the universe and to my body move moving and sort of wavering out into the universe and going farther and farther and farther. And while that was happening, I felt the energy of my body kind of being vacuumed out in through that cord, looking for, it seemed like it was looking for some place to go. And of course, that's a story. I have no idea what it was doing. And then all of a sudden, I opened my eyes and I said out loud, well, this is a nice choice of experience to be having. And then my friend was by my side at that point, and she said to me, surrender to the experience.
Wow.
And I said, I choose to have this experience in ease and grace and joy. And that's exactly what then began to happen. Right then, some of the other hikers came up over the mountainside and rushed to see what had happened and to see if they could help me. And immediately, I could feel all of their fear thoughts. Oh, my God, what's happened to this woman? Oh, she's going to die, or maybe she's already dead. I wonder if I can help her. I wonder if I can do anything. And there just was millions of thoughts, and I could hear them all.
Whoa.
As soon as they got within a certain, maybe about 30 to 50 feet within my range, I could hear all these millions of thoughts that were going on. And I realized that they were really well-intentioned, that they really did want to do something for me, but that what was really motivating them was fear. And I really didn't want, for some reason, I didn't really want to have any fear around me at this time. So I said to them all, with the what breath I had, to find my cell phone, because I had realized that my fanny pack had flown off of me and I had my cell phone in there. Mind you, in 1997, my friends used to make fun of me living in Sedona and having a cell phone. It was like the most horrible thing to do and to have, you know. But nevertheless, I had it for a reason, and that was because I went hiking a lot, and, you know, I just felt that it was important to have in case.
Right.
So I had it. So they were very respectful and went off and looked for my fanny pack and my cell phone and all like that. So I immediately, after that was done, I went into this other experience with the dolphins. And the dolphins started swimming around my body. It was as if I felt my body floating in water, you know, like when you float on your back.
Right, yeah.
It felt just like that, and it felt almost as if I was breathing underwater with the dolphins.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, I had my eyes closed because I was facing the sun, and the sun was in my eyes. So, and plus I had all this energy now around me, and I didn't know, I wasn't like trying to assess it. I was just experiencing it.
Right.
And so the dolphins, everywhere the dolphins touched my body, I heard my body repair itself.
Wow.
I literally could see inside my body, and I could see everywhere I was broken and everywhere the muscles were torn apart. And it was like of no concern to me. It was just like, you know, like when you say, just the facts, ma'am. You know,
right, yeah.
Facts. That's literally what was just like reading my body like, oh, okay, this is just the facts, which was awesome. And then I saw the dolphins actually repairing my body and organs and things that were out of place. I could hear snap back in place. I could see snapping back in place, and it was like as if they were brand new and now shiny, clean, sparkly, wonderful, brand new body. And I was like, okay. I mean, actually, I didn't have any comments about anything. I wasn't analyzing it. I was just in the experience.
Right.
So now when I tell the story, I like to add things, but I try not to add things because it really, I like to keep it as pure as it was,
mm-hmm.
and I retell it. So, so then that was really interesting. And then the people came back, the other hikers came back, and they said, as if they were reporting to a teacher, it was so funny, they were saying, well, we found part of your phone, but we couldn't find the battery, and we found your fanny pack, and, like, It's like their, you know, their what their energy fields were saying was, mm-hmm. "Oh God, I'm so sorry, I couldn't fulfill the task you sent me on."
Right.
You know, and so I said, "Well, just go back out there, you'll find the battery." As if, you know, saying it, just saying it made it so, you know.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just kind of knew that at the time, and so I said it, and sure enough, they came back with the battery, and I said, okay, just slip it on and press 911 send and give the location of where we are. Well, they walked away then to do that while I continue to have another experience with the angels.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had a dream the night before where I was standing in this big, huge office building, 5 stories up, with all these windows, huge windows with no frames around them. And I was looking at this gorgeous blue sky, and it was almost like the windows beckoned me to look outside. And as I looked outside, I saw 7 angels standing shoulder to shoulder and about 5 or 6 others floating at their feet, kind of laying on their side. And they were all just kind of hanging out there. And I went and I saw them, and I turned around to my coworkers and I said, "Come, look at these angels. They're awesome. Look, they're right there for all of us to see." And nobody came. And I thought, okay, well, this is just for me. This is in my dream, right? So this is just for me. So I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know what's wrong with all these other people. They don't want to see these gorgeous angels. You know, so I thought, okay, I'm just going to enjoy it. And then I woke up. Well, when I woke up in the morning, I just was, this dream was so with me. It was like, wow, these angels. And, you know, I thought I was trying to figure it out. I'll just leave it alone. So when I was on the mountain, I saw these angels over me, standing over me, the same angels.
Really?
Yeah.
So they were like almost warning you or something, or preparing you or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, almost like they were guiding the whole experience.
Okay.
And it was almost like the dream was a warning, sort of a warning, you know, because angels don't really need to warn us about stuff. They protect us. And so, but the dream was sort of letting me know that they were there for me and they were going to be there for me. And that's why it was so strong in the morning, and where I was in a place in my life then of not very trusting. I wanted to be trusting, but I just couldn't get there.
Right.
So my will was stronger than anything, and my mind was stronger than, and you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So strong.
Mm-hmm.
So by this time, the rescue team came up the mountain. I fell about 50 feet, which is 5 stories. In my dream, I knew I was 5 stories up. And when I fell 50 feet. I thought, okay, this really was a prophetic dream, but I didn't know, how to interpret it at the time. So the rescue people came up, and they got me, and it was this most amazing thing that they did. There was 22 of them, including the hikers that were there and including the my friends that I was hiking with. And what they did was they stood shoulder to shoulder, exactly like the angels stood in my dream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they were connected, and they had me on this gurney, and they flanked each side of the gurney, and they had both of their hands on it. And then, so how they would get me down the mountain was they had this caterpillar chain where the person on top would go down to the bottom, and then everybody would hand down one hand, of me on the gurney, and then the top person would go down to the bottom, and then they would hand down one hand.
Jeez.
Yeah, like that. On top of shale and a 30% grade, and it was like amazing what they were doing and how sure-footed they were. And even when we got to around the edge of the mountain again, right about the time we got around to the edge of the mountain, this helicopter came down, and landed on another ledge of the mountain. And you know, helicopters are supposed to land going straight up and straight down. Well, this helicopter came in sideways.
Wow.
Whoa.
If he came in straight down, the blades would have hit the side of the mountain.
Oh, man.
Man, I mean, he was so, I mean, this thing was orchestrated so perfectly.
Yeah.
So the helicopter landed. They got me down these three natural steps that were made of shale and rock and boulders. And all this time, I was in total bliss. I was sitting there in total bliss. I knew I was going to be well taken care of. I knew it was going to be easy. And I wasn't thinking about anything. I just was like being with this energy that was so strong inside my body now.
Wow.
And so they got me in the helicopter. Off I go to Flagstaff Medical. And I'll just give you a couple of highlights that happened in the hospital because it could take about a half hour to tell the whole thing. So they put me in for surgery on my right arm because my right arm was shattered in my shoulder and my head, and both of my legs were broken. Jeez. My pelvis was broken in three places. And thank God, I think the dolphins totally healed my back because I landed straight on my back. There's nothing wrong with my back, thank God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, dolphins.
I know. Thank you. I know. Always thank you, thank you. So they gave me surgery on my right arm and then put me in recovery. And then the very next day, I open up my eyes and I kept falling asleep. I'd open up my eyes and fall asleep. I wake up, fall asleep. This happened like the whole morning. And I was... and finally, around noon, I said to the nurse that came in, said, it's lunchtime, and I go, you know, why am I so groggy? I can't seem to stay awake, and I have all this great energy around me that's so alive and vibrant and radiant and vital and strong. And she says, well, you're on morphine.
Oh, boy.
And I go, why am I on morphine? You know, to me, this was a ridiculous thought because I wasn't in any pain, you know. And so I said, why? She goes, well, you're in excruciating pain. And I went, oh, my God, I am not. I don't want morphine in my body. She said, well, that's because of the morphine. I go, no, you don't understand.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not in pain because I have this energy around me that's so magnificent. That is healing my body. And she's, no, you're not. You know, morphine will make you do that. And we went around and around and around for about 20 minutes. Yeah. Finally, she agreed to get the doctor after telling me that the doctor is on call and he's nowhere to be found. And I immediately, I don't know how I did this, I just did it. My energy fields expanded to encompass the entire hospital. And I felt his energy in the hospital, like on the eighth floor above me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I said, he's in the hospital, just please page him and ask him to come. So she finally agreed to do that, and he came within an hour, and I said, were you in the hospital? And he said, yes, I was. And I later asked my God self, you know, how was it that I knew that he was in the hospital? And the answer came, well, he was in your energy fields the night before when he gave you surgery, and so you recognized him by his energy fields. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a true gift. And he said, yes, one of your gifts is kinesthetic, is to be able to feel everything now. And so... he agreed to take me off the morphine, and under another 20-minute discussion, it's almost exactly the same rhetoric as the nurse.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought, okay, you know, I need for them to understand me. So for them to understand the kind of experience I'm having, I need to share with them and not be upset, but just kindly and compassionately share with them what it is that I'm going through. And see if it can spark the God self in them to allow me to have what I know is going to work for me that's maybe a little bit better than what they might be offering.
Oh.
So little by little, I kind of coached them And my friend said, oh, yeah, you were directing everybody. And everybody was really listening. They wanted to know because I had this different kind of energy to my voice.
Wow.
And to my, you know, I was a different person when I came back. I don't know where I went, but when I came back, I was totally different. And everyone around me was now paying attention to me, which is totally different also. That was not my experience of myself in the world before. So the next day after I had been taken off the morphine, by the way, I saw the morphine actually within about 20 minutes disappear out of my body.
Wow.
It actually was, it looked to me like a denser material,
mm-hmm.
and then the energy, the bigger energy that was healing me was finer and lighter and, like I said, more vibrant.
Right.
And so the density, I actually watched the density go and disappear. You know about this, Preston, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just disappeared inside of the God, I call it God energy. That's all I could name it because it was so powerful, so profound. And it was so interesting that I wanted to pay more attention to that than anything else. I wasn't interested in my blood pressure, I knew I was fine, you know.
Right.
I wasn't interested in anything else but that. So I watched it start to teach me and the people around me because I would start saying things that I'd never said before. Like that, you know, being very accommodating for the doctors and nurses to understand where I was and maybe opening up something inside of them that could have them be compassionate toward me and giving me what I wanted. And so the next day, after I had a fantastic night's sleep without the morphine in my body, the doctor came in bright and early, 7:30, and he said, so how are we this morning? With like this full expectation. Now I could read his energy, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. He had this full expectation that I would be like begging him for pain medication.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my answer back to him was, wonderful. How are you this fine morning? And he looked at me like, what? How can you respond that way? You know, and he kind of shook him and he shook it off. And then he said, well, when we did the MRI the other night, your MRI showed that your right leg was as damaged as your right arm, so we want to give you surgery on that today. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you into x-ray again to see how it looks, and then we'll go from there. I have you already scheduled for OR around noon. I said, okay, fine. And that felt good to me. You know, it felt right to me. I didn't feel like he was trying to pressure me or make me do something that I wasn't supposed to have done. So I actually went into the x-ray room, which was probably the worst experience that I had in the hospital, because here they're putting me on a steel slab with 22 broken bones.
Oh, oh wow.
You know, it was like, it really didn't feel too good.
No.
The way they, and of course with x-ray, right, they have you move your legs a certain way and hold it there and not breathe. And I was like, oh, you people are cruel. This is not a sane thing to do to someone who has a broken body.
No.
So I go back into my room after taking x-rays. The doctor comes back a few minutes later, and he says to me, well, we're not going to give you surgery. And I go, why not? And he goes, there's nothing to do surgery on.
Come on.
Wow.
The whole, in one and a half day, the leg that was in the same condition as the arm completely healed itself.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, I have to tell you, I was not in resistance to anything that was going on. I was, what my girlfriend asked me to do, completely surrendered. And I was having an experience because of the surrendering. My mind never engaged. My mind never went into worry or what's going to happen or, oh, my God, it could be crippled. Or none of those thoughts were part of my experience.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is
amazing. Right.
Yeah. I mean, totally surrendering in a tragedy is like learning trust implicitly. You know?
Oh,
you
learn
that you, as a human being, have God always by your side, no matter what. Unconditional faith and trust. It's always there. So he then recomposes himself after telling me that I have no need for surgery. And he's like, now being the doctor authority again, okay, well, we are going to put a cast on your left leg. And I said, fine. And now that the right leg's healed, they're going to put a cast on my left leg. And he says, I said to him, so how long? And he looks at me with his authority, and he says, 4 to 6 weeks. And I say, one. And he looks at me and he says, if you do that, I am going to write a report about you. And I said, get out your pen.
Get ready to take some dictation.
Exactly. Take notes
and
take names, because you're going to see something that is going to, you know, be different than what you're used to experiencing.
Wow.
Well, certainly, 10 days later, I was in his office, and they cut off my cast. But it was actually about 5 or 6 days after I got out of the hospital that I was already doing isometrics with my leg.
Wow.
You know how to isolate? You can isolate. Well, I was a dancer for many years, so I knew how to isolate my muscles.
Right.
And how to strengthen them without causing a lot of exertion.
Okay.
By isolating the muscles. And so I had done that because the swelling went down. I almost could just, you know, slip the cast off like a sock at this point because, you know, my foot was so ready to be walked on. But I just thought it would be fun to do it in the traditional way and go to the doctor and have his office do all their steps, okay?
Right. Yeah.
So while I'm in the doctor's office that time, I'll just finish the hospital. So I got out of the hospital in 3 days.
Wow.
They let me home, and they said, you know, we're just going to have physical therapy, show you how to walk, and then you're out of here. And I said, great. So in 3 days, I was out of the hospital, and 10 days later, when I was in the doctor's office, after they gave me surgery, instead of doing stitches, they did staples on my arm.
Right.
So I had like 26 staples in my arm holding the suture together. So I go into the nurse's station first, and I'm walking in on crutches, and they're like, oh, it's nice to see you again. How you been doing? And I'm smiling, and now I start telling them stories about how I've been healing, you know, and how wonderful it's been, because they're used to being grouchy and pain, and you know, the waiting room was full of it because he's an orthopedic surgeon, and most of his work is from trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the nurse's station, and they say, "Okay, you ready to get the staples out?" And I'm like, "Sure." So they look at my arm and they go, oh my God. Right at the same moment that they're asking me if I want Novocaine, you know, to do this because it hurts. And I'm like, no, I don't want Novocaine. And like in the same moment, they're going, oh my God, look. And they call in somebody, another nurse's aide, and they go, look at her arm. All of my staples were just in by the tips.
Oh, wow.
They were popping out.
Oh, my God.
Well, all she did was go bing, 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 and they were gone.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and it didn't hurt at all, of course, because it was just the tips of them that were in. And they were, like, flabbergasted. They were so surprised as how that could happen. And so when he came in to take my cast off, it was the same thing. He was just like, oh, my God, there's no swelling. Your leg is totally healed. And I, in fact, walked out of his office without my crutches.
Oh, yay.
So everybody that was in the waiting room was going,
oh my God, she walked in with crutches and she's walking.
Oh my God.
And she just fell off of a cliff 10 days ago. And, you know, I mean, they were whispering about all the stuff.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. It was quite fun for me because, you know, like I said, I wasn't evaluating or justifying anything. I was just in the experience. And so literally I was in this experience for 4 solid weeks of no mind.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah. And totally surrendered. So at night the questions that would come up would be like, okay, well, show me how to heal my body. This energy, whatever this energy is, whoever you are, teach me, show me. You know, I feel your power, so let's get on with it, you know. What kind of power is this, and what are you actually doing, and what can I learn from you? And so that's what I did every night when I went to sleep, was I literally got information from this power based on my own life's questions. And, you know, the questions that you ask yourself your whole life, like, why am I here, what am
right.
I doing,
yeah.
my purpose, and why, how does God make human beings, and all like that, all those questions I asked. And I saw energetically, I saw and felt and heard, you know, so everything was awake in me.
Wow.
All my gifts were awake, and I listened and heard and felt and experienced what was being told to me. So in some situations, I was taken back into the past. In some situations, the past was part of my own life that I had lived, that I learned, didn't learn lessons and wanted to learn them now, brought them into this life to learn.
Right.
And in some other pasts, I was shown that I was part of different tribes that were learning the mastery teachings of the universe through the oral traditions.
Wow.
So it was quite extraordinary, and I lived for those times when I could go to sleep. So, I mean, it was so amazing to be with some masters that were teaching me, and they named who they were and stuff, but I don't think that's, you know, that may not be important to other people as it was to me.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like I got some information that was really very powerful. But more than that, it's useful and practical now. And so after the 4-week period, what I did was I committed my life to learning about this as much as I possibly could, because I knew that my will and my free will was being abused, that I was abusing it.
Right.
Because that's just what we do as human beings. We have free will, and so we use it. What we don't realize is that we abuse it, and we use it in very negative ways, and we don't mean to, but it's more like a survival thing, a technique that we learn at a very young age, and so that's just what we do. We never learn anything different. We never, at least in my lifetime, this is what I learned, is that we don't learn the positive ways of using our energy, the positive ways of thinking, the positive ways of being powerful, you know, like being in our true, authentic essence of ourselves that is very powerful.
Right.
Godlike, even. So, and, you know, I mean, for the people listening out there, I will say that I use the word God very freely because it's my experience and my choice of word that empowers me.
Yeah.
But I would ask you to
use whatever empowers
yes,
you.
Substitute mm-hmm. the word that really works for you for the power that is around you that you don't ever understand totally, or maybe you do, and also that power that you know is there, but you can't, it's hard to name and it's hard to really, truly understand. But the moments when you're still, you know that something is there, because everybody goes to sleep at night, and when you sleep, where do you go?
Right.
You know, where are you? You think you're in your body in your bed, but I wonder, is that really true? because you're not paying attention to where you are. And so other things are happening that you may not be aware of. And that is what I say is where your power, a lot of your power is. And many of us now have that. A lot of you do, probably. And so what we do is when we surrender to that and literally learn from it and ask questions from it, the it, whatever the it is that works, the name that works for you, it fulfills you in a totally different way in your life. And you can let go of the free will that you had that was harmful to yourself and probably to others. So I committed in my commitment to this power, understanding it, learning from it, and having it be my lifelong reason for being here, if for no other reason this is my reason for being here, is to learn from that energy that is always existing within and around me. And so I literally went into meditation for about 3 years.
Wow.
After this experience. And I sat and sat and sat and asked the questions, and the energy stayed with me, although it wasn't as strong, and my thinking mind was more engaged. And I just stayed with it. I wanted to know everything that I possibly could. And even today, you know, this is 10 years later now, I still, when my mind is overactive, and I know it's overactive because I can feel it, then I just go quiet and be still. And the energy clears itself just by me being still, because it doesn't have to fight anything. It's like when the mind starts going, the energy has to fight something for... It's not really true, but it's sort of an analogy.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Resistance. Yeah. It's like you're going into resistance when you do that. Yeah.
You're going into what?
Resistance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes I think stillness is just a meaning of doing something that you're completely focused in, and your mind's not in it.
Yeah.
So that your divine can come in. Like sometimes our stillness can be dancing. Because when we're dancing, we're just enjoying dancing. Yeah. Our mind's never in it. It's not like, oh, I'm not going to trip on my left foot. Okay, go to this. It kind of flows. And that's I think, is our stillness. And everybody else has their own stillness as well.
Yes, everybody does.
Yeah.
And I think that it's key for people to find that. And so one of the things that I learned was how to breathe, that most people are so busy in their lives that they forget that they're breathing because the body does it instinctually.
Right, yes.
But when you do it consciously, what you do is you keep yourself still while you're doing all the things that you have to do. And what happens when you're doing that with very conscious breathing, you're literally leaving room for divine to presence itself within you.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So what are some of the teachings that you share with your clients and classes?
Well, that's one of them. The breathing is really, really key. And so I actually lead people through a breathing exercise that lasts about 5 to 7 minutes because... And I purposely do it that long because I want to give the people an experience whereby the body takes over. So when you consciously breathe, like what you said, Preston, you're focusing.
Yeah.
When you're focusing on just your breath and breathing your body as much breath as your body can hold and even more than that, then what happens is your body actually takes over the breath and you kind of go into an altered state. And that state is full presence. It's not altered meaning that you're not in your body or that you're not present. It means that you're completely and fully present. But you're without the mind. That's the altering. The mind goes quiet and the silence is present, and that's where inspiration comes from. And so, and literally when you do this for what I say is three big breaths, and you'll get yourself centered and grounded within three big breaths, whatever, however long that takes you. Sometimes it can take 3 minutes, sometimes it can take 3 seconds. It all depends on you. So that's one.
Yeah.
Another technique that I share with people is to tone inside their body. And sound is a great healer. And it's a very simple way to modulate your own sound inside your body. So in other words, if you were to say you wanted to sound inside your heart.
Okay.
You wanted to feel your heart. You wanted to like feel it vibrate, and you wanted like just clear out any heartbreak or any maybe wrongdoing that you feel you've done or that someone has done to you. So you do this tone in your voice, and you look for the tone that matches the vibration that you want to feel. And so you may start off with oh, and you just find the one that makes your heart sing, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you do that in your whole body. So you could do it for your whole body. You could do it for your feet. You could do it for your hands. You could do it for your kneecaps. You know, for any part of your body, you just bring your own tone down into that part of the body, and you sing to it, sort of. You tone. You ho. Oh, you tone to it. And that vibration heals you because it's yours,
right?
And because it's conscious, focused energy, and it's breath, and it's like it's all these components, and it's otherworldly as well.
Wow.
Things that we can't explain get in there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So there's the tone and the breath, and then I also teach people how to self-heal themselves by using the process that I learned, which is about 10 or 12 steps. And what it does is it connects you. You have such great focus attention inside your body. You actually concentrate on connecting to your body so that your mind and your body become connected. Then your body and your spirit and your mind become connected. And then your spirit and your emotions and your mind and your body become connected. And so this becomes this multi-layering of your connection with yourself that's so clear that when you go through these steps, you become whole. And your body... See, the only thing that causes disease is out of balance.
That makes sense, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just one part of the body not talking to the other,
right,
or not communicating to each other. And when that happens, the body gets out of balance, and then over time, it creates dis-ease.
Right.
Which is disease.
Right.
Which is also illness. So when you correct that balance, as soon as you feel it, or that imbalance, as soon as you feel it, then you're preventing disease and you're healing yourself.
Cool.
Wow.
So I do that with people. Usually I can do it over the phone and I do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
I usually ask people to commit to 3 or 4 sessions depending on what's going on in their life, and at the end of those sessions, they know how to do it themselves.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So then you're helping people, but then you're helping them to help others in the process.
Exactly.
Yeah, themselves and then others.
So are all of these in your book?
They're all in my book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I wrote the book I gave you a thumbnail sketch of the story, but I went into much more detail in the book. And the purpose of doing that was because every step of the way, there's I was told that we never know what is going to wake someone up. It could be one word or a sentence, or just the, even if you've heard something 1,000 times, the one time that they hear it again
is
the time that they'll wake up. And so my book is jammed full of this energy. It's the purity of the information and the energy that I experienced, and it actually it can cause healing and it can cause awakening.
Cool. Okay, so where can we get your book?
The book is called 50 Feet in 4 Seconds: The True Story of a Leap into Consciousness and Ultimate Health.
Oh, wow. I get it. Now 50 feet. Oh,
when I asked one day about a year after I fell, I had my friend over that I was hiking with, and he was a great crystal healer. He uses crystals to heal people in the earth, and so we were talking, and I said, hey, you're a really mechanical, technical kind of guy. How long did it take me to fall? And he said, oh, about 4 seconds. So that's how the title came to me.
Wow.
Yeah, 50 feet in 4 seconds.
So you can call Shana for more info at 530-362-0736 or visit her website at www.50feetin4seconds.com.
And the fives and the fours are all...
Numbers. Yeah, 50 is not written out, and neither is 4.
Right.
Yeah,
the number.
Yeah. Wow, it's been so amazing and fun and joyful and just blissful to have you on, Shana.
Thank you. And I'm wondering, do we have time? I'd be happy to give everyone a blessing, a oneness blessing.
Actually, we have about 3 minutes or so. So
is it okay? Do you want to end with that or?
Sure. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to do that. I'll watch the clock, or you just tell me when it's time. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So what I'm gonna ask everyone to do is right now just close your eyes and imagine a golden ball. Breathing, as you breathe in, it breathes with you, your breath, from your crown into your heart, and it sits there in your heart. And will you just take a moment to be absolutely grateful for your life, whatever you have, whatever you can think to be grateful for. And I'm going to send this energy to you now. Just keep breathing really deep.
Giving this
energy.
Yes, it is. Okay, so that's about all the time we have.
Okay, and if the people listening will just rest and keep breathing this in for a little bit longer, they might feel some things. And make sure you call us and let us know.
Yeah.
Tell us your experience.
Yeah.
So then
thank you, Preston and Mariana. We love you.
We love you, too.
Love you too. You're awesome.
You're awesome.
Thank you. You're awesome, too.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night. And thank you, Shana.
Okay, just a last-minute contact. If you want to call Shana for more information, or if you want to tell her how amazing the oneness blessing was, call Shana at 530-362-0736 or visit her website at www.50feetin4seconds.com. Okay, well, that's about all the time we have. It's been an amazing, wonderful journey of love, light, joy, wisdom, and information and knowledge. And I can't wait to hear more. I can't wait to have her on again. Okay, so we just want to say our final goodbyes. Goodbye. We love you. Have a wonderful, awesome day. Remember, keep it all easy and peaceful. And effortless.
We love you and appreciate you. Thank you for stopping by.
Remember, flow with the dolphins and be free and have fun. Enjoy.
Life's a gift. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Mwah.